Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Now, during these last few weeks, we've been focusing especially on the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives and through our lives. And this morning, we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit affects our character, reproduces the character of Jesus in us. And if you have your Bible, you can turn first to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read from the Truth Version, from verse 17. Now, the Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord God, and where His Spirit is present, people have been set free. So our faces are not covered or veiled, but we are all able to reflect the Lord's glory. The more that glory is revealed in us, the more like Him we become. So this glory that comes from the Lord is continually increasing in our lives because the Spirit of glory lives in us. Now, to understand how God reproduces His character, or the character of Jesus in us, we've got to go back to the Last Supper. Now, we've just shared together in Holy Communion the context within which Jesus instituted this, first of all, was the time when He was saying key things to His disciples. It was like the climax of the teaching He'd been giving them for 3.5 years. And He said things to them then that would not have been intelligible or even really relevant until the promise of the coming of the Spirit could be given to them. Do you remember that Jesus said to them at the Last Supper that He that was with them would be in them? And He was pointing forward to the fact that after He'd returned to heaven, He would pray to the Father, and the Father would send this precious gift of the Holy Spirit to live within them. Now, it was at this time that Jesus used this illustration of the vine. And He referred to Himself as the true vine and the disciples as the branches in that vine. And He gave them this command to continue to live in the vine, to abide in the vine, to rest in the vine. It's quite difficult to give a compact translation of what the Greek word means. But it means to rest, to stay, to remain, to continue, to live or to abide in the place where you have been put. And Paul tells the Ephesians that when a person first believes the gospel, is born again, then at that point, God incorporates him into Christ. So you were placed in Christ. You became a branch in the vine when you were born again. Now, that couldn't happen until after the cross, which is why Jesus had to wait until this time to give the disciples this promise. Now, I'm not a great horticulturalist, but when one branch is grafted into another tree, you have to strip away the bark of the tree, you have to wound the tree, and you strip away the same in the branch, and you bind the two together until the graft has taken. We couldn't be grafted into Jesus until He was wounded. It's through those wounds, through those stripes, through the nails that were piercing His hands and feet, all that made it possible for you to be grafted into Jesus, to become a branch in the vine. Now, from the moment that that process began, you began to share in the nature of the vine. The nature of the branch is the same as the nature of the whole vine. So from that moment of being grafted into Jesus, you now have the nature of Jesus. The nature of Jesus within you. The nature of God through the Holy Spirit. This is called in Scripture your new nature. And this is why Paul says the old nature that used to govern your life has gone. And now the new nature has come. And it's this new nature that is to reveal Jesus, to make it possible for you to know Jesus, to live at one with Jesus, and for the life of Jesus to flow out of your life to touch and embrace the lives of other people. So, the character, of course, comes from the nature. That when God made you one with the nature of Jesus, He made you one with the character of Jesus. Now, certain things, of course, had to happen, all as part of this process. First of all, God had to deal with the old nature. He had to put it to death, which is why the Scripture says that we have been crucified with Christ, why Paul says it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So that old person I was with that sinful nature that was inevitably centered upon myself, that is what was crucified with Christ. So what is my standing, what is your standing before God now? Well, Paul says that we have been blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. He has already blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Now, why should he have done that? Because at the same time that Jesus is telling his disciples about becoming branches of the vine and living in him, he makes this wonderful statement. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. He doesn't say, as the Father has loved me, so do I love you. But he puts it in the historic tense. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. And what he is saying is that the love of God is not an emotion, it's not a feeling. The love of God can only be revealed in action. So we see all the way through the ministry of Jesus that actually he didn't talk a lot about love, he just demonstrated it. He did love. And he touched the lives of other people in love. Everything that he did was motivated by love. He was concerned, therefore, with compassion for the welfare of the people to whom he was preaching. It must have really grieved him to see how the Pharisees and the religious leaders rejected him and so rejected the life that he had come to give. Because out of his heart of love, he just wanted to give, he wanted to bless, he wanted to heal, he wanted to deliver and set people free. This was the character, this was the nature of the love that lived within him. And then, of course, there came the cross itself, which was the supreme act of love, where he actually laid his life down for us. Now, why was that possible? Well, or why was it necessary? When Paul says that God has blessed us in Christ as branches in the vine with every blessing that God has in heaven, He says this, for the reason why this has happened, for he chose us in him to be holy and blameless in his sight. Now, we've just received communion, and in that we've received the cup, which signifies the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If God has washed your life with that blood, you stand before him today, holy and blameless. God, through his forgiveness of your sins, has declared you innocent of the things for which you were guilty. But Jesus has carried the guilt. Jesus has borne the punishment, and that makes you innocent and blameless before God. You're allowed to be happy about that. That's why, of course, he says, don't judge one another. Forgive one another. If God has done that for you, how should you relate, react to one another with that same love? God knew that it would be impossible for the character of Jesus to be revealed through the old nature. The old nature is the flesh, and Jesus says in the flesh there is absolutely nothing good. So just by trying to be religious, trying to imitate Jesus, trying to be a good person, you cannot be like Jesus. There has to be this grafting of the vine into the vine. There has to be sharing the nature of Jesus. There has to be the cleansing of the old. And then there has to be the flowing of the sap. You see, the reason why the branch is going to bear fruit is that the sap is in the vine is going to flow through the branch to produce the fruit. Now, the root of this true vine of Jesus, the roots are in heaven. And from heaven, there is a continual flow of the Holy Spirit through the whole vine. So that sap that flows through the vine is the Holy Spirit. That sap that flows through your branch because you've been grafted unto Jesus is the Holy Spirit. And the fruit that is produced is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So Paul, when he's writing to the Galatians, he describes that fruit as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's not an exhaustive list because, you know, the Spirit also gives power and authority and lots of other things too. But Paul focuses there on those nine things because really they are characteristics of the nature, of the character, of the personality of Jesus. And this is the fruit that the Holy Spirit will produce in your life. Let's just go through them again. And as I do so, just consider this. You want all nine of these characteristics in your life. And I can guarantee that everybody who knows you would love to see more of these characteristics in you. Love. And all the other characteristics are really dependent upon the first fruit of the Spirit, which is love. Joy. Those who abide in the vine have to be a people of love. Jesus makes that clear, as we'll see in a moment. But those who live in the vine are a joyful people. They give thanks in all circumstances because they're never separated from Jesus. They're never apart from him. It doesn't matter what's happening to them, what experiences they have, what is going on in the world around them. Nothing can separate them from that love. Amen. So they are a people of joy. They're a people of peace because by abiding in the vine, they're at one with the will of God in their lives. Love, joy, peace, patience. You know, a lot of people say to me, or they have done over the years, they've come to me and say, oh, would you pray with me to have more patience? And I say, no. And they say, well, why not? I say, because if I prayed for you to have patience, it wouldn't work. And they say, why wouldn't it work? I said, it's not patience you need, it's more of the Spirit in your life. If you have more of the Spirit in your life, if you submit more to the Holy Spirit in your life, then you will have patience, along with all the other fruit of the Holy Spirit. You see, patience isn't just something that can be isolated and separated from all these other virtues that Paul is talking about. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Wouldn't you like to be more kind? Wouldn't you like everybody to be more kind to you? Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Jesus said that he had a humble and gentle heart. Wouldn't you like to have that gentleness at all times, like Jesus did? And self-control, keeping that old life where it needs to be. Wonderful that all this is the work of the Spirit. You can't make yourself more loving. You can't make yourself more joyful. You can't make yourself more peaceful. You can't make yourself more patient or kind or good. It's all the work of the Spirit within you. So I spoke 2 or 3 weeks ago about how we need to depend upon the anointing. The more we depend upon the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is within us, then the more we shall see all this fruit, all these characteristics of Jesus being expressed in our lives. Now, you needn't turn to this, but in Isaiah 27, God says this, sing about a fruitful vineyard. Or some of your translations are more literal, and they say, sing about a vine of red wine. I quite like that translation myself. I, the Lord, watch over it. I water it continually. I guard it day and night so that no harm may come to it. Now, Jesus, when he talks about this vine, the first thing he says is that he is the vine and his Father is the vine dresser. His Father is the gardener. His Father is the one who tends the vine. Now, what is the purpose of the one who tends the vine? He wants every branch of that vine to be fruitful. So, what is God saying in this scripture? Well, the Father, whose vineyard it is, who owns the vine, this is his Son, the true vine, the Father watches over this vine continuously. Every moment of every day, he's watching over, he's caring for this vine, he's watering it continuously. Water again is a symbol in the Holy Spirit for in the Word of God for the Holy Spirit. He's watering it continually so that that sap of the Spirit flows through the vine continuously. He's guarding it day and night so that nothing may harm it. You know, people wish Christians harm, they criticize, they judge, people can leave churches in offense and say all kinds of negative things. But you know, all the time, God is watching over the vine to guard it, to keep it, to enable it to be his body here on earth, his people. Hallelujah. Now, when Jesus says, abide in the vine, he then says, As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you, which we mentioned a little while ago. But he then follows it by abide in my love. So if we abide in the vine, we're going to abide in love because he is love. God is love, yes? And Jesus is God. So by abiding in the vine, by continuing to live in the vine, we're continuing to live in love. Right now, when or how is that expressed in your life? God the Father watches over the vine continuously because you are in the vine continuously. So you abide in that love every moment of every day. Last time I preached this, the people there believed and they started to say hallelujah and praise the Lord. Never for a moment of time are you separated from the love that is in that vine. So I've been teaching the students recently now, what you need to do is throughout the day, well, you need to begin the day when you get out of bed, when your feet touch the floor, saying, I am a branch in the vine today. I'm living in the love of Jesus today. And throughout this day, I will continue to live in that love. And again, the scripture says, it is because of him. Paul says this to the Corinthians, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. It is because of him that you're in Christ. So I've said now at various points during the day, you can stop whenever you have a decision to make or whenever you've just got to pause or you're driving or you're doing something where you're not needing to focus your concentration on something else. You can just stop for 20 seconds, I tell them. The first 10 seconds, you simply reaffirm, I am living in the vine of Jesus now. You see, just hearing me preach this doesn't make it faith in your life. You can hear it, you can agree with it, you can say it's the truth, and it still doesn't become faith. What makes it faith is that little word, now. So, I am living in the vine today, and during the course of the day, I can say, I am a branch in the vine now. I'm living in Christ Jesus now. By his grace, by what he has done, I am in Christ Jesus now. Therefore, I am able to share in his nature. Whatever is happening, if I have a decision to make, then it's good to stop and say, I am in the vine of Jesus now. And I'm trusting you, Lord, therefore, to cause me to make the right decision. But you see, Jesus says, continue to live there. Don't just forget about it or just assume it because you know that it's true, because you get it taught here so regularly that we are in Christ. No, live continuously in that revelation. All day long be saying, now, 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 at this moment, in what is happening, now. It takes about 10 seconds. What are you going to do the other 10 seconds? The other 10 seconds, you're going to say, according to that scripture that we've just read, and the Spirit of glory is in me now. You see, you can say that several times during the course of the day. Just takes 20 seconds. I am living in the vine of Jesus now, and the Spirit of God's glory is in me now. 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 You see, when temptation comes, how's the best way to handle that? Not just to fight the temptation, but to begin to confess the truth of the word, just like Jesus did when the devil attacked him in the wilderness. So you can just quote the word right in the face of that temptation. I am abiding in Jesus now. In Jesus there is no sin. Amen. And the Spirit of glory is in me now. And in the Spirit of glory, there is no sin. So I don't have to yield to this temptation. I can say no to that temptation. The great and wonderful thing is that we will live in the victory of Jesus. The more we do this, the more we will live in that victory. There will be times, inevitably, when we fail. But, you know, God has even allowed for that in His Word. John is talking about this in the first chapter of his first epistle. And he says, you know, but even if we do sin, even if we do fail to, in some point, to live out our life in Christ, in the sense that we're depending upon that new nature and revealing His character, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what you have to remember is that when God forgives you, you are cleansed from all unrighteousness. Amen. But remember that too about your brother and sister, that when He has forgiven them, they're cleansed of all unrighteousness. So you've got nothing to judge or condemn them for. Hello? So this is a wonderful picture that Jesus gives His disciples. You're now going to live so close to me that you'll be living in me, and I'll be living in you by the power of my Spirit. And my purpose is always to express that love in action. So we don't abide in Jesus just to say, well, praise God, I'm abiding in Him now, and His Spirit is in me now. Why do we do that? So that then the life of the Spirit will be revealed in what we decide, in the way we think, in what we say, in what we do, in the way we relate, in whatever happens at a practical level following that statement. You see, it's very difficult, isn't it, to say, I am living in the vine now and the Spirit of glory is in me now, and then choose to disobey the Lord. I mean, that would so grieve the Holy Spirit, you would still feel very, very uncomfortable about it immediately, wouldn't you? Anybody at the same meeting I'm at here? So you see, affirming the truth helps to keep you walking in the truth. Can you see that? You stop affirming the Word, and it's much more difficult to walk in the truth, because the Word is the Word of truth. If you continue in my Word, Jesus says, you will be my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, just as you continue in Christ, you continue to, it's the same Word. The same Word there, where Jesus says continue in the Word, is the same Word where He says abide in me. It's the same Greek word. So He's saying, abide in the Word, abide in me, abide in love. It's the same word. Just continue to live in the Word. Continue to live in the truth. Continue to live in the vine. Continue to live in love. Continue to live in the Spirit. Hallelujah. It's this continuous thing. It's not just, well, we have received a blessing and now we've just got to get on with life. No, as you continue in the Word, you continue in faith, you continue in love, you continue in Jesus, you continue in the Spirit, then the character of Jesus comes forth in the way you think. And that's the important thing, isn't it? Because we have the mind of Christ, but the mind of Christ has got to impact our natural minds. So if we think right, we'll believe right, and we'll speak right, and we'll work right, but it all comes out of thinking right, of bringing our thinking in line with God's Word. Amen? Now, the power of God is not our particular subject, but I want you to understand that the more you abide in Christ, not only is His character revealed, but His activity is revealed. So at the same time that Jesus is making all these statements at the Last Supper to the disciples. He says also that the fruit of this will be answered prayer. If you continue to live in me, and my word continues to live in you, you will ask for whatever you wish, and it will be given you. You see, there is a condition there that you are continuing to live in him. You're living in the word. You're living in Christ. You're living in this revelation of the truth. And the Spirit of God is living in you and enabling the word to live in you. Then ask whatever you wish. You know, some people get disappointed because they pray and they don't see the answers that they are wanting or wish for. So it raises the question, well, what does that say about your abiding in him and his word abiding in you? We had a wonderful testimony, you see, of somebody going through brain surgery, but knowing the abiding presence of the Lord through it all. You see, that's the result of that abiding in him, having faith in him. He brings you through. Amen? We don't all have to go through that, praise God, but we all do have to go through various challenges because the testing of our faith proves it's genuine. So the important thing is that when you're faced with a faith challenge, you walk victoriously through it. Amen? So everything really depends upon this abiding in Jesus. Because he says, if you abide in me, then my words will abide in you. I will abide in you. Interesting that he actually says that his continuing to live in us is the result of us continuing to live in him. You continue to live in me, and I will continue to live in you. Now, does he mean by that that if we don't live in him, he's going to take his presence away? No, no, no. What he means is that the more fully we live in him, the more fully he lives in us. The more, and how do you live in him? Well, you keep confessing it, but you see, why are you confessing it? Because you're surrendering yourself to the truth. You're saying the truth that matters at this moment now is not the truth about me, but the truth about me in Christ. The truth about the fact that I'm a branch in the vine. The truth about me that matters is that I can stand holy and blameless before God, all because of his mercy and grace, and because he has made me one with him, has grafted me into the vine. I am a branch of the vine. The sap of the Spirit is flowing. The Spirit of glory is in me now to produce the fruit. Now, just one more thing. See the fruit. If you go to a vineyard and you see the branches, you see the bunches of fruit on the branches, what are you looking for? Good quality fruit. Large, juicy grapes. The juice in the grapes of the vine is the love of the Spirit. That everybody that tastes the fruit of your life tastes what is sweet. You don't want to be a grouchy Christian, do you? You want what the Scripture says, the sweet perfume of Christ to flow out of your life. But it's also interesting, you see, in each of those grapes, there are seeds. Now, To us, these are the pips that are a nuisance if you're enjoying the grapes. But of course, the pips are there for a reason. They are the seeds in the fruit in your life. As people taste the sweetness of what God produces in you, the seeds of His love are being sown in them. You're spreading seeds every time. You see, each grape of your on your bunch, on your branch, represents something that the Spirit of God has done through you, or said through you, or worked through you, you see? And contained in that is the sweetness of the love, because it's all to be done in love if it's in the vine. Everything in the vine is done in love. Everything. Absolutely everything. You can't do anything in the vine that is not of love, because the vine is love. See? So everything that you do that comes from the life of the vine has that sweetness. And every one of those events, of those things, of whatever it is that God does to you, every single one of them, in that action, there is the seed that is being planted in another person's life that will give birth to the love of God in that person. Whether it's another Christian, whether it's a non-believer, no matter who it is, in that action is the seed. And this is how the kingdom of God advances. This is how the purpose of God expands. This is how multiplication happens. Let me tell you, multiplication will not happen by you praying for it. Multiplication isn't an anointing. Multiplication is the result of people being able to taste the fruit of Jesus in the lives of believers. And they want what they taste. And the seeds of His love that are in those grapes, that are in that fruit, initiates something new in their lives. So, you can abide in the vine. God has put you there. All you got to do is stay there. You couldn't work your way there. So, God has deliberately made the gospel for mutts like us. He says He's chosen the weak and the foolish because the gospel had to be appropriate for the most simple of people. It is not for the intellectual or for those that think they're better or cleverer than anybody else. It's for everybody. So if the essence of fulfilling the purpose of God is to abide in the vine, it must be intrinsically exceedingly simple. Otherwise, it can't be the gospel. Anything that is not simple is not the gospel. You'll find that the more and more revival there is in any church, the simpler everything becomes. All the complication goes and everything is simple because the gospel is so intrinsically simple. It's only unbelief that makes it complicated. It's only sin that complicates things. But everything is so simple. It says, right, I put you in the vine, stay there. That's simple enough. You just keep believing where you are, keep confessing where you are, keep trusting where you are. And the Holy Spirit will work through you and He will produce the fruit and others will come and taste the fruit and they will see that it's good and God will bless them and He will further His purpose in their lives. So simple. You can do that. If you choose to. You can get up tomorrow morning and as your feet touch the ground, you can say, today, I'm a branch in the vine. Today, the Spirit of glory lives in me. You can do that. You can do that. You can stop, if you choose to, various points during the day, just for 20 seconds. You can say, I'm in the vine now, and the Spirit of glory is in me now. By God's grace, I am in Christ Jesus now, and His Spirit lives in me now. You can do that. And you see, the more you do that, the more real it will become. And when you're faced with a decision, when there's something you have to do, especially if it's something you don't particularly want to do, or, you know, some meeting that you've got to go to that you don't want, or some person that you find is difficult, you know, say, confess the faith first. Confess the truth first. And then the love of God will flow through you. And when the love of God flows through you, it's not nearly so difficult. Because it's His love in you. It's the character of Jesus in you. You carry His character, see? But His character gets swamped by your character when you trust in yourself and not in Him. And that grieves the Holy Spirit. So praise God. It's going to be a wonderful week. It's going to be a wonderful month. It's going to be a wonderful year. It's going to be the wonderful the rest of your life. Because all you've got to do is abide in the vine, and He will abide in you, and He will bear much fruit. And the Father is watching over the branch. He's watching over the vine, watching over your branch continuously. He's watering it continuously. He's watching over you every moment. He's guarding you day and night. So that no harm will come to you. Amen. And that you will be able to fulfill the plan and purpose that God had for you by putting you in the vine. Amen. Let's all stand. Come on, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Just begin to thank Him now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That today I am a branch in the vine of Jesus. Come on, thank Him. Thank Him that it's only possible because Jesus was wounded for your sake. He was wounded for your sake. You are bound to Jesus. Through those wounds. Hallelujah. You're bound to Jesus through those wounds. You know, when you first became a Christian, it all seemed so easy, didn't it? Because when that action was performed by God, He bound you to Jesus, and you just rested so completely on Him. But then, of course, The graft has to take, and then you remove the binding, and that's when you have to learn to trust God for yourself. So thank Him that you are in Christ Jesus by God's act. It is because of Him, because of God Himself. That's what it says in Scripture. Because of Him, you're in Christ Jesus. So thank the Lord. It was His plan. It was His purpose. He took hold of your life. He grafted you into Jesus. Hallelujah. Now thank Him that He made you holy and blameless in His sight before He could do that. He couldn't graft an unholy branch into the holy vine. So He forgave your sins. He made you blameless, innocent in His sight because you had believed the sacrifice that Jesus had made for you, cleansing you of all sin, of all guilt, of all failure, making you a brand new person. So thank Him that you stand here today in that blameless mercy, love, grace of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, thank God that He is your Father, watching over the branch continuously, day and night, every moment. There's never a moment of time when you are not in God's thoughts. When He doesn't see and know what's happening in your life. Because he's watching over you continuously. And he's watering your life. He's watering this vine. He's watering it with the Holy Spirit. Its roots are in heaven, drawing on the sap of the Spirit, flowing through that vine. So thank the Lord that the sap of the Holy Spirit is flowing through your branch. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. The Spirit of glory is within you, transforming you into his likeness so that more and more of the identity of the vine of which you're a part is seen in the branch. And so you bear more fruit, which is really the fruit of Jesus. It's the fruit that comes out of the Christ-likeness in your life. It's the fruit that is the product of the Holy Spirit flowing through you. So thank the Lord for all the fruit that he has produced. And thank the Lord that there's going to be even greater fruitfulness in the future. Because even the fruitful branches, he prunes. And that means he cleanses. The word in Greek means to cleanse. He cleanses every branch to make it more fruitful still. So thank him for the pruning in your life. Thank him that he's been cleansing you from all the things that are not like Christ, all the things that stand in the way of fruitfulness, all the things that hinder his purpose. Thank him that in his love, he watches over your branch to cleanse you of all those things. Come on, really be thankful to him for that. That's wonderful. And he says that he does this that his joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that you want to take all the things out of our life that rob us of the joy that you want there to be in the vine, in your body. And Lord, we are not a sour, miserable, complaining, moaning, groaning people. We are a loving, joyful, spirit-filled people. And we rejoice in you and we praise you, Lord, that we can rejoice in you always because we're living in the vine always. And nothing can separate us from that love. We give you all the glory, Jesus. Now thank him that he's reproducing his character in you. You can look at yourself and see all kinds of ways in which more of the characteristics of Jesus need to be seen in you. But let me tell you, you're a vast improvement on what you used to be. I mean, you're a vast improvement. Already several of the characteristics of Jesus are seen in your life. And increasingly, the more you trust him, the more of his life is revealed through you. So just praise him for that. Thank him for that. Yes, you're a work in process, in progress. Amen. You're a work in progress, but tell him, Lord, I want to see more and more of Jesus revealed through my life. I want to see more and more of your character, of the character of the vine in my branch. I want more of that love, more joy, more peace, more patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So, Lord, I want to trust more fully in your Spirit. And the more I trust in your Spirit, the more I trust in the anointing, the more of that fruit I will see. Hallelujah. And thank you, Lord, for the fruit of answered prayer. That as I abide in you and your words abide in me, I will see the answer to whatever I pray in your name. Come on, let's thank the Lord. God wants to do some stuff in just the next couple of minutes. God's ready to touch lives with his power right now. You don't have to wait. You only have to abide. That means you live in. Just affirm now, Lord, I'm living in you. And you are living in me. Your Spirit of glory is in me. And because I live in you, you give me the privilege and the authority of praying in your name. The name that is above every other name. So, Lord, I thank you that I do not pray from a place of separation from you, but I pray from a place of unity with you. So, Lord, I thank you that your Spirit guides my prayer now, that He is not only the Spirit of glory, but the Spirit of faith. I thank you, Lord, that you move by faith now all over this congregation, all over this room. The where there isn't faith, you initiate faith. Faith comes from hearing your word. I believe, Lord, you've spoken a word that is initiating faith, that is producing faith. That faith is rising up in people right now, and you're going to honor that faith. Thank you that whenever your Spirit inspires faith, your Spirit honors the faith with answered prayer. Jesus says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. So just tell the Lord now what you believe you have received through His love, through His mercy and His grace, for the fruit of answered prayer. Not just for what you're praying now, but all the answers you're going to see in the future because of what you believe now. Now just make the agreement with God that you're going to confess, you're going to speak over your life several times a day. Only takes 20 seconds. That you are in Christ, you are in the vine, and the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of faith, the Spirit of love is in you. Spirit of power, whatever dynamic of the Spirit you need, He is in you. Just thank the Lord for that. Nothing can separate you. You're grafted in to stay in, to live continually in that vine. You're not a fruitless branch that is going to be cut out. You're a fruitful branch that gives glory to God. So we praise you, Lord. We bless you. We give you all the glory, all the honor. Now just be still for a moment. There's fresh oil, fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit for you. For every branch in the vine. Right now, believe that. That the sap of God's Spirit flows through the vine, flows through your branch, that He gives you now, this is faith, now. He gives you now everything that you need in your life at this time. And you can be absolutely sure of that because the scripture says that in Christ He has already given you everything you need for life and godliness. So it's yours already, okay? You are a co-heir with Christ. He has already blessed you with every spiritual blessing in Christ. But right now He's releasing, you're laying hold of that which you need now for your life now. Today. This week, in this coming season. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the fresh flow of your Spirit through every life that is here. Thank you for the greater fruitfulness that we're going to see as a result. Praise your wonderful and holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all just stand now. And I just want you to turn to the others around you and to affirm the faith concerning yourself, just say to the, to at least three or four people, I am a branch in the vine of Jesus now. Now, turn to them again and tell them the truth about them. You are a branch in the vine of Jesus now. Okay, now affirm this truth over your life. The Spirit of God's glory is in me now. And then tell them, the Spirit of God's glory is in you now. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to speak the truth? Hallelujah. Okay, now just affirm this after me. As I continue to live in Jesus, and His Word continues to live in me, I shall receive from God whatever I ask in His name for His glory. Hallelujah. Come on, let's thank the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. You see, no branch can function without the body. You know, the origin of Mother's Day has got nothing actually to do with our natural mothers. Historically, it was the day mid-Lent when everybody who had sort of left their local village or town returned to their home church, their mother church. It was originally a festival, thanking God. There isn't another festival in the church's year or calendar that celebrates the church. And it was the day on which everybody gave thanks for the way that they had been nurtured spiritually by the church as their mother. And it's only in recent times when the greetings card manufacturers got to work on it that it became something different. It's something different in other countries that don't have that historical thing. But this goes way, way back to the Middle Ages. And everybody would travel back to their home church, and so to be with their families. And so it was a family time, and they would have these special cakes called simnel cakes and all the rest of it. A lot of tradition attached to it. But let's just thank the Lord for Mother Church. Amen. The church that nurtures us, right? It's God that nurtures us, but He does it through the body, doesn't He? And we can't function without the body. We can't live without the body. We're inextricably bound to one another. Paul says you belong to one another. So, Father, we thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you for this manifestation of the vine here at Kingdom Faith to which we belong. We thank you, Lord, that you have drawn us together so that we may abide not only in the vine, but abide together in the vine. That we belong to one another. That you prayed, Father, may they be one so that the world will know. And we thank you, Lord, that the world is going to see that love, not only in us personally, but that love between us, that love flowing all the way through this body, that love and the way that believers relate to one another and care for one another, show compassion and concern for one another. Thank you, Lord, that you want this body to be a body of love so that all those that come in amongst us want to be part of that love. And we just give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.